Leading Edge Medicine provides only general medical information. Since everyone's individual situation is unique, you should consult your own physician before taking any action related to your personal health. All content of this program is intended for general informational purposes only. Good morning and welcome to Leading Edge Medicine with Dr. Jerry Mixon and Dr. Samira Umat. Leading Edge Medicine is sponsored by Longevity Medical Clinics and is devoted to helping you feel and function better tomorrow than you do today by providing the newest and most advanced medical care designed to improve both your body and your brain. Leading Edge Medicine will keep you informed regarding the very latest developments in science and medicine while highlighting some of the Northwest's most prominent physicians. All while helping you separate the science from the silly and the facts from the fiction. This is live call-in radio at its very best, giving you the opportunity to participate in the show. Now, here are your hosts for Leading Edge Medicine, Dr. Jerry Mixon and Dr. Samira Umat, along with their co-host, Lynette Morgan.
Oh, good morning and a very Merry Christmas. We're getting closer and closer and closer. Less than 10 days now. Can you believe that? 9 days.
9 days?
We're counting down, yeah, the 16th today, December 16th. I'm Lynette, Dr. Mixon here. Dr. Umat is probably doing something Christmassy with family, or is she off learning
things? She's actually at a medical meeting.
Okay, she's at a medical meeting today, learning things that she can share with us next time she's on.
That's right. So,
yay!
Yeah, I sent her off Tuesday, so she's been there for 3 days already.
Okay.
I think she comes home tomorrow afternoon.
All right. And see, I did not remember she wouldn't be here until I drove into the parking lot, and I'm like, ah! So I guess I'm wearing my sparkly pink reindeer necklace for you, Dr. Mixon.
Well, I'm flattered.
Yeah. I thought,
I've always wanted to see a woman with a sparkly pink reindeer necklace.
Yes. And Christmas cookie. Sparkly Christmas cookie shoes. So
that's right.
There you go. And so glad you're here with us. Leading Edge Medicine. We're going to go ahead and give that phone number out so that you can be one of the first ones on the line with your questions. We will be recorded next week with Christmas things happening, and then of course the week after with New Year's Day. So if you've got a question, we are live here in the studio. Today's your day to get through.
Fact is, I think this is 2 weeks in a row we'll be gone.
Yes.
Because we've got New Year's and then
Christmas and New Year's.
And New Year's, yeah.
Yeah. So today is the day to get those questions in before we talk with you and we're live in the studio. Here's the number to get through today, 800-465-8770. So there we go. All right. Dr. Mixon, I know you've been reading on, you're always in the computer reading, getting information, seeing what's new, anything that's new.
Oh,
the edge.
Yeah, there's always new stuff.
Always new.
Yeah, the question is, how much does it impact most people's lives?
Okay.
Most of the new stuff I read is a different take on a particular scientific subject that would bore the pants off 99% of this audience. So, you know, most of these things are things that will come to fruition, if ever, in 5 or 10 years.
Okay.
So I don't have anything earth-shaking today, I fear.
Okay.
No. No new viruses sweeping through the country.
Which is so nice. Yeah. Isn't that nice? I remember when every week it was something new, bigger.
Update. Which state has the most people dying this week?
Yes.
And which states are doing better? And, you know, try to speculate as to why and so on.
Mm-hmm.
No, we do have some issues, you know, that are going on medically. We've got an inordinate number of relatively young, healthy people in their 20s, 30s, and 40s dying right now. And we aren't sure why.
Hmm.
You know, there is a significant segment that is basically tagging it on either COVID or the COVID vaccines. This might be some sort of long-term effect from either the vaccines or the disease itself. We don't really know for sure.
Wow.
You know, but we do know that, you know, the death rate among men more than women, but both men and women, men predominantly, though, in their 30s, late 20s, 30s, and mid-40s. And we're collecting this not so much from the medical community.
Mm-hmm.
It's been the data collected from the insurance industry.
Wow.
You know, all these people have life insurance. And the insurance companies definitely notice when their claims of otherwise their healthiest population that they rarely have to pay a claim off on.
That are barely paying into their life insurance, probably.
That's
the
right,
lower
yes. They've got,
rates.
They've got super low rates because they tend not to die.
Yeah.
And when they start dying, the insurance industry starts raising the flags. Mm. So I think it's kind of interesting. We are not getting this data out of hospitals. We're not getting it out of state coroners. We're not getting it out of the CDC. We're getting it out of the insurance industry.
Wow.
It's just kind of odd. And these are not people developing diseases and spending a lot of time in hospitals, which is probably why we're not seeing it in hospital data. These are people who are just suddenly dropping dead.
Wow. Heart-related? Are
don't
we hearing?
Know for
we
sure.
don't know yet. Okay.
Yeah. Again, that's our problem is the insurance industry is not medical. They're okay. financial. So they're seeing a sudden hit on their bottom line, and they're raising questions. Mm. But because these people didn't die in hospitals, because they were not suspicious homicides or anything, nobody was investigating the cause of death. They got embalmed and buried, not autopsied.
Of course. Okay.
And so.
Wow.
Yeah.
All right. Well, the phone lines are ringing. Look at that. It's a Christmas tree. Should we just dive right
Let's
in?
Let's dive right in.
Okay. Here we go. 800-465-8770. Leading Edge Medicine, Dr. Mixon, is here for you. We're going to head to line one, Terry in Mount Lake Terrace. Good morning. Merry Christmas, Terry.
Good morning, Terry.
Well, ditto. I've for several months now, I've had this book I've been reading through, not necessarily cover to cover, but it's called Toxic Superfoods by Sally Norton.
Uh-huh.
And it's all about oxalate content of foods, some of which we have been told are very, very healthy for you. And they would be, except for that. And then a few weeks ago, Dr. McCullough interviewed the author, and that was pretty enlightening as well. And what the author is talking about is not just the high oxalate content of some of these otherwise superfoods, but then how to detox from that before you get kidney stones.
Uh-huh.
And because what she's saying is that the oxalic acid damages cell membranes, gets into the cell, hijacks calcium chemistry, and causes all sorts of problems. And, of course, depending on which tissue is being invaded, which can be all of them, the spectrum of symptoms is huge and seemingly unrelated. So I've been, and she also then talks about the detox, which is to use magnesium, calcium, and potassium citrate with meals to bind to the acid, and you can flush it then before it ever gets into your bloodstream. And of course, part of that flushing is both bowel and kidney. And that you will see, if you do this, if you take these with meals, you will see cloudy urine. And I am testing that, and that seems to be exactly the case. Hold a bright light up to it when it's cloudy, and you see these very fine suspension of very fine crystals. So is there a urine test for that? Or because I don't remember seeing that on a normal panel.
It's not on the normal panels.
And what are oxalates, Dr. Mixon?
Well, oxalic acid is the most common form. And the oxalates are basically chemicals that are found mostly in green leafy vegetables.
Okay.
And we see this problem a lot in folks that are vegetarians, oddly enough. You know, the vegan vegetarian craze has kind of swept America over the last 20 years.
Mm-hmm.
We're told that meat will kill you and you should avoid meat. Besides, it's unethical to eat animals. Frankly, I'd rather eat them than have them eat me. But,
yeah. Oh, my.
So, but, yeah, this is a problem. And it's interesting. oxalate stones are the most common form of kidney stones.
Okay, kidney stones.
And, you know, people at once upon a time thought it was calcium, but it's not. It is, well, it's actually a calcium oxalate. But you get rid of it by getting rid of the excess oxalates in your diet.
Okay.
So, yeah, it sounds like an interesting book. I have not read it, but I'll put it on my list of things to take a look at.
Yeah, what was that name of the book, well, Terry?
Toxic Superfoods. And okay. Just she's got a chart in here of worst offenders and safe bets. And when you look at the worst offenders list, separated by categories like fruits, grains, greens, and nuts and seeds and so on, there's a lot of stuff on there that we all think we should be eating a lot of. And when I experiment with avoiding foods in this worst offenders list, I get a clear urine sample. When I load up on these, I get cloudy urine, and she's saying that's an indicator that, and when you shine a really bright LED light through it, you can see very fine, super fine crystals floating around in that.
Although I have to admit, Terry, I have never examined my urine with a very bright LED light.
Yeah.
on my normal bathroom routine.
That's right. Terry, why is the LED light in the bathroom?
Yeah.
When it's cloudy and she's saying these are oxalates that haven't formed into kidney stones yet, okay. I'm interested because
of course.
I want to know.
Sure. Well, you know, I kind of put the vegetarian zealots in a same category as the multi-level marketing folks. You know, I am constantly bombarded with folks that want me to sell their multi-level marketing stuff through my clinics.
Oh boy, I bet you are.
And they tell me how rich I will get selling their stuff as they drive away in their 10-year-old Pinto. Say, so you want to tell me about getting rich? Get rich first, then come talk to me.
Then
as long as you're poor, don't tell me how to get rich. And same thing with with skinny, frail, little vegetarian people who can barely get up the stairs.
My friends that are vegetarians, I haven't met a healthy-looking one yet.
No, and so, you know, I say...
I'm not trying to be rude, but I just haven't. Eat a burger.
We are designed as omnivores. Our teeth, our gut, our entire digestive system. We're designed to eat anything that doesn't eat us first. We just are. We can overdo it on the meat side. We can overdo it on the veggie side. But we're designed to have a balanced diet.
Eat a steak salad.
Well, on the list of worst offenders, meat is the only one that doesn't have oxalates. Of the top five, three are greens and two are two of my favorite foods, almonds and chocolate, and almonds in the form of almond flour and chocolate in the form of cacao, chocolate chips, and that sort of thing, and chocolate frosting in one of my favorite recipes. And
I see.
That's a tough one.
I'm eating my almonds this morning.
Well, then let me recommend my absolute favorite indulgence.
Okay.
And I don't get to eat it often because my Chinese wife simply does not do these. But my wife is out of town, like today. My wife is in China right now.
Okay.
And so tomorrow, my daughter is bringing me over a banana cream cake.
Oh, boy.
She bakes three layers, but then she cuts each layer in half.
Oh, boy.
And so every half layer, I get six skinny layers with bananas and whipped cream in between every layer and then coated on it.
I don't think whipped cream would be on his list of toxic offenders there.
No, but boy, is it high fat.
Yeah. Oh, that. Yes.
Well, and wheat flour is on the list of foods to avoid, too. So, anyway.
Okay.
All right. Well, thank you for the call, Terry.
Yes, thank you so much.
I'll at least peruse said book. But, God, my reading list is so long.
I bet.
All right. But thanks a lot, Terry. Appreciate it. Bye-bye.
Oh, boy. All right.
Yeah, you know, every time I read a medical journal article, I go through those six pages of citations, and in there I will find seven or eight or 10 other articles I want to read. And then every one of those clues me to 8 or 10 other articles, all of which get, yeah. And so my reading list goes into the tens of thousands rather rapidly.
Wow, it gets
pretty
quick.
So popular books stay kind of low on my list, but oh well.
That's why your office has a library in it.
<That's right.
laughs> Pretty much. Oh, you're listening to Leading Edge Medicine, taking your phone calls. We are live in the studio. Dr. Jerry Mixon here. I'm Lynette. We're going to take a quick break, and we'll be back with Tammy and May and Warren talking about whatever you would like to discuss today concerning your health and aging. We'll be right back. Stay right there.
It's the most wonderful time of the year. With the kids jingle belling and everyone telling you be of good cheer. It's the most wonderful time of the year.
Oh, good morning. Leading Edge Medicine. Hi there, I'm Lynette. Dr. Jerry Mixon here, and we have phone lines look like a Christmas tree. I love that. Very, very seasonal. keep the calls coming, and we'll keep answering. All right, Dr. Mixon will. We're going to head right over to Lakewood now, and Tommy on the line. Good morning, Tommy.
Good morning.
Good morning. It's Connie.
Oh, it is Connie. Okay.
Okay. You're just going to go over and slap the hand of whoever's doing the intake at the station today.
There we go.
That's
Connie.
Okay.
All right. Well, Mr. Station Fellow, have another cup of coffee.
There we go. Our producer. There you go. How can we help, Connie?
Well, I have interstitial lung disease, and I have an autoimmune I can't even pronounce it. And when I turned 60, I got the old shingles shot, which the young doctor at the ER said, I never heard of that. But I got shingles.
Uh-huh.
I did get shingles because they haven't had the new Shingrix shot yet.
Right.
Oh,
yeah.
Okay.
And Shingrix is more effective.
Okay.
Yeah. It's been very painful, very painful. They gave me some antivirals and some lidocaine cream and some gabapentin to help with the pain. My question is, it was on my hip, and it pretty much stayed in my lower extremity. However, now I'm waking up, and I have this shooting pain under my right arm into my breast, and I'm wondering, could that be related to the shingles?
Do you have any rash there of any kind?
I don't have a rash under my arm.
Okay, just on the hip.
Just on the hip and around the corner on the lower abdomen.
Okay, yeah. Well, the reason it goes all the way around is it's following the nerve root. The nerve root where it comes out of your spine goes from the center of your back around the hip and then over onto the lower part of the belly. And shingles usually only involves one nerve root at a time, but rarely you will get multiple nerve roots involved. So is it possible that this second area is also a shingles? Yes, it's possible. And if you develop any kind of rash or skin discoloration or roughness in that area, then it becomes more likely. But with no skin involvement at all, then I kind of have to work on the assumption that we got some other problem going on.
You know,
usually in medicine, we try to put all the symptoms into one bag. With one diagnosis, but sometimes they just don't quite all fit in the same package. This one is kind of a mix because, you know, you've got two areas where the skin is giving you pain. And you have an infection that we know can occur in more than one root at a time, though it usually doesn't. So you might just be at the very, very early stages of a shingles outbreak in this second site. And
my gosh.
Yeah, I know.
It's been 3 weeks. It's been 3 weeks now.
Mm-hmm.
I finished the antiviral, and then that's when the other spots started hurting. But it's not all the time. It's just a shooting pain every once in a while. It catches me off guard and sends me doubling over.
Well, two things. I would go back and get someone to examine me for that second pain to see what they can find. But I disagree with the current philosophy of only giving the antivirals for a few days. The problem with shingles is it's a viral inflammation of the nerve, of the actual, the cutaneous nerve. And that nerve can be damaged to the point that you have permanent pain there. Shingles pain can last anywhere from a few weeks to several months to a lifetime. And I am of the opinion that when we start people on the antiviral for the shingle, we should continue the antiviral until the infection is totally resolved and the pain goes away. So back in my country doctor days, when a patient came in with shingles, I would start them on a 30-day supply, and I would make it refillable three times if the pain persisted that long. And I told them, you take this regularly until the pain is gone. And, you know, when I did that, I never had a single patient with long-term pain. When they took the antiviral every single day, the pain would be gone within a month, and I never had anybody with long-term pain. But I have seen people who are treated the way you're being treated, and some of them can have permanent pain. And it just, so I think your doctor's making a mistake, you know, but we all make our judgments in medicine, and mine just happens to be different than his.
Mm. Okay, I appreciate that information. I need to go back and get some more antiviral.
Yeah, if they'll give it to you. You know, the problem we've got with modern medicine, especially if your doctor is in a clinic, a large clinic associated, you know, where there's lots and lots of doctors and they have, you know, 3 or 4 or 10 different sites scattered around the state, is they have a clinic protocol. And the doctors are pretty much restricted to using the protocol. And if the, we have reached a point in the industrialization of medicine where doctors' independent judgment is often curtailed unless their judgment just happens to be in totally in accord with what the clinic protocols are. So, you know, he may not even be permitted to give it to you. But go back and try.
Yeah.
Okay, I appreciate that. I appreciate all the information, and we really appreciate you being on the radio because we enjoy your program every week.
Well, thank you, ma'am.
Thank you, Connie.
I enjoy being here. I just wish they were paying me instead of me paying them. You know, it has irritated me for decades now because I've done this show for 26 years.
Yeah.
And I spend hundreds of thousands of dollars every year buying this radio time so that I can talk to you guys. And, and you know, I mean, I put over $500,000 a year into buying radio time for you listeners out there.
That $500,000 is just my salary.
Yeah. And so.
I'm kidding.
Yeah. That's wishful thinking over there, by the way. Hell, that's not even my salary. But then I have seen other doctor shows that I think are not nearly as informative, where the doctors are getting paid hundreds of thousands of dollars a year to do the shows.
Wow.
And I just say, what am I doing wrong?
Wait a minute. But you're talking about what the listener is wanting to hear, and you're answering the questions they have as opposed to selling what whomever is paying your
salary,
right?
The other mistake I think I may have made here was that 20-some years ago, of course, I was an unknown quantity. Nobody knew how good or bad my show would be. So they sold me the time. And Pete Talbot negotiated that. And then once we became popular, I went back to Pete and I said, Pete, we're doing pretty good. We've been on the show, you know, 2-3 years now. When do they start paying us? And Pete's answer was, never. once they start collecting your money, they're not going to give it up and give you money instead.
Oh, man.
And so for 26 years, I've continued to pay for the privilege of helping you guys with your problems. Okay. Should we set up?
Definitely from the heart. Yes. It is your passion, Dr. Mixon.
It is indeed.
You continue to help people.
Anyway.
Yes. Yeah. And thank you for that, Connie.
But thank you for your call, Connie. Talk to you later. Bye-bye.
All right. Okay, we're going to go to Puyallup now. Are you ready?
Take sure, a little let's drive. Go to Puyallup.
Let's go to Puyallup. We have May on the line. Good morning, May. Welcome to Leading Edge Medicine.
Good morning, May.
Good morning. I called you probably a few months ago. I have a daughter that has the NMO. And this started, her first attack was like 4 years ago, so she's been having this. But my question is, she's on gabapentin, and she'll take the marijuana or the CBD gummies or whatever, mainly to get sleep. She's still in a lot of pain during the day, but trying to sleep at night has been really hard. So I was wondering if the relief factor would help with that, because her pain is, seems like I asked her about it one time, and she said that it, because of the lining and the nerves and everything that she's dealing with, that the relief factor wouldn't help.
And it probably will not if the pain is that severe.
Wow. And doctor, what is an NMO for our
NMO,
listeners?
Neuromyelitis optica. It's an autoimmune and very rare condition, actually. And it got its name because it was the first identified in somebody whose vision went bad. They started having eye pain and their vision got, and they started getting faded colors. And got worked up, and that was what it was. But it turns out this is a systemic condition.
Wow.
And the spinal cord can often be involved. And if the spinal cord is too inflamed, it actually swells and starts compressing itself against the vertebra, because it's going through a kind of a hole, a defect in the center of the vertebral bodies. And as it swells, you can start compressing the spinal cord. And so these people can get not just vision problems and eye pain, they can get pain anywhere in their body.
Wow.
And can get muscular weakness and so on, and a lot of dysfunctions from that spinal cord being compressed. I am a little concerned with NMO being the primary diagnosis, though, with just being treated with gabapentin and CBD gummies. If this is what it really is, then it's an autoimmune disease. And I would think somebody would be going with one of the immunomodulating drugs instead of the gabapentin. Gabapentin helps the symptoms, but it doesn't do anything for the autoimmune disease that's underlying the problem.
I know every 6 months she goes in and has to have Rituxan.
Okay, so she is getting
from having attacks.
Yes, well, so they are doing exactly what I was thinking. All right, good. I'm sorry that I impugned their acumen then, because that is a fine drug for this condition. All right, good.
And she started the first month she was in bed in the hospital for a long time, and she wasn't able to walk, and she's now walking and driving, and this has been 4 years where she's gradually getting better, but she still has that constant pain all the time.
Yeah, and unfortunately, it sounds like she's already on, sounds like she's already on one of the best drugs for this. You can try things like Relief Factor. It is an anti-inflammatory. It may decrease her inflammation just enough to give her some relief. But, you know, compared to the drugs she's on, it's pretty weak. I mean, it's something I can sell over the counter without needing a prescription. So.
Yeah. And they just told her insurance company they're not going to cover Rituxan anymore. So that's scary for her.
What are they going to cover, though?
Find something else.
Well, yeah, there are options. That's not the only drug. And in fact,
okay,
you
good.
know, if they're phasing out this particular one, there may be a newer, better one that the insurance company will cover, something more effective. I hope that's their reason, and not that she's bumping up against the upper limits of what they're allowed to pay. Depending on your policy, some people's policy have like $1 million limit, and they once they get up to that, they won't pay anything above that. Other people have higher limits or no limit. You know, I pay for the no limit myself because if something really bad happens to me, I don't
want to be covered.
I don't want money to be the limiting factor. But
yeah. So what did you say? Maybe you recommend to help her sleep?
Take
a break.
Yeah, we got the break. Let me think about that because in her situation, what I'd give her to sleep is, boy, that's a questionable. So,
yep. May you stay right there.
And nothing helps us.
No. Oh. Okay. No, high doses of melatonin will actually disrupt your sleep. So,
okay. May you hang on the line. We're going to take a quick break, and we'll be back with more Leading Edge Medicine. Stay right there.
Jingle bells, jingle bells, jingle all the way. Oh, what fun it is to ride in a one-horse open sleigh. Jingle bells, jingle bells, jingle all the way. Oh, what fun it is to ride in a one-horse open sleigh, dashing through the snow.
Merry Christmas. Leading Edge Medicine, Dr. Jerry Mixon here. I'm Lynette. We have May on the line talking about NMO and possibilities to help with sleep.
Sleep, yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, and I don't want to do anything to complicate her situation, but you know, your comment about a bottle of melatonin.
Mm. melatonin, I guess you tried it. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. It's a wonderful drug when used for the right people in the right doses. but it can, in fact, disrupt your sleep if your doses are too high. Usually it disrupts the sleep. You go to sleep just fine, but your dreams become so vivid and intense that they can wake you up. So, if I was going to use, I hesitate to use addictive drugs, things like the Ambien. I mean, there are some drugs that'll knock you out. We tell them, take it, sit down on the edge of the bed, swallow the pill with water and lay down so you don't fall down. But those are all have significant abuse potential, as well as some next day side effects. So I'm always a little hesitant to discuss those with people unless I'm in the exam room and I'm controlling how much of it they're going to take. Over the counter sort of stuff, if she wants to try a botanical, she should go get some passion flower extract. Extract from the roots and leaves of passion flower is quite a sedative. It often relaxes people. I don't know why it got its name passion flower, unless the flowers are just especially passionate in color.
You know, I'm going to Google that and see what they look like.
because it makes you drowsy. It doesn't make you passionate. And then perhaps upping her magnesium intake a bit. Magnesium makes muscles relax and also can help the brain to just kind of mellow out a bit. Magnesium and passion flower would be my two safest recommendations for this.
And how many, milligrams on magnesium or whatever?
500 or so. Magnesium will let you know if you're taking too much because you'll get raging diarrhea. Magnesium salts are not well absorbed from the bowel. So you absorb some, but most of it's going to stay in the gut where it pulls water into the bowel by osmotic pressure. And that then gives you really loose stool. So it's hard to overdose on magnesium just because you start pooping so often, you won't keep taking it. All right.
Okay. All right.
Take care. Bye bye.
Thank you so much. Appreciate you.
Bye-bye. Aw, thank you for that, May. Yeah. Wow. I didn't know. And So much information we get here on Leading Edge Medicine. We're glad you call in with all of the questions. And the next one, quite different, too.
Okay, what's the next one?
Okay, let me give that phone number. We have room for you online, 800-465-8770. That's 800-465-8770 with your questions for Dr. Mixon. We are headed to Stanwood. We have Warren on the line. Hi there, Warren. Good morning.
Good morning, Warren.
Good morning. Good morning. I wanted to make a comment on a comment you made about your wife's comment on your scars of a warrior.
Yes. Oh, I remember that. Yes.
I thought that was so spectacular. Yeah. Just incredible insight.
She is a spectacular lady. She owns my heart, lock, stock, and barrel.
Yes, she does.
I am so much in love with her.
And Dr. Mixon, why don't you quickly share what he's referring to for those who may not have heard?
Well, as many of the listeners know, I, as a foolish young man, became a combat paratrooper and got myself shot up. And I have multiple gunshot wounds, shrapnel wounds, one bayonet wound.
Wow.
So I've got scars on both arms, both legs, and on my torso. And when I was courting my wife, we had talked for months without any physical contact. And I knew she was special, and I really wanted her to approve of me. But the first night we were going to spend together, I was a little hesitant because I'm not very pretty without my clothes on. I've got scars everywhere.
Oh, all the scars, okay.
And, yeah, I'm one of that vast majority of humans who look better with their clothes on than off. And I warned her. I said, you know, honey, you've heard about my scars, but you haven't seen them, and I'm a little concerned. And she just looked at me and said, let me decide what I think. She's a fiercely independent woman, by the way, who has traveled the entire world and had adventures of her own. And so she actually unbuttoned my shirt and took it off, undid my belt and dropped my trousers around my ankles. I'm standing there in my shorts, feeling embarrassed. And she started at my front. She walked all the way around my body, running her fingertips over some of the bigger puckers and lines, and got back around to my front, looked up into my eyes, and said, those are warrior's scars. They make me feel safe because I know you'll fight to protect what you love. And I wanted to pick her up and carry her off and marry her on the spot.
Yeah.
And I did pick her up and carry her, but only as far as the other room where there was a bed, because I was already undressed. I mean, what the hell?
There we go. Oh, thank you for reminding our listeners, in case you hadn't heard that story. That's what Warren was referring to. So thank you, Warren, for letting us share that again. How can we help you today on Leading Edge Medicine?
Well, last week we were talking about testosterone and that you didn't like the shots.
Yes.
Versus, I guess, the creams, and you were going to say why, but we ran out of time.
Oh, yes. Okay. Well, yeah, let me expound on that just a bit. The shots give you a very high dose in the first day or two, and then they tend to decline over the next couple of weeks until they get too low again. So if you take your shot every 2 weeks, which is the most common way, you'll go from too high to too low to too high to too low in the sawtooth pattern. If you take it every week, the first bunch will not get totally out of your system before you put the next bunch in. So you'll be too high most of the time. And in those rare men that are taking it twice a week, they're just pounding themselves with testosterone, unless they're using a very low dose. And that always worries me, because I try to match the physiology of the natural, healthy human body as much as I can. And keeping your testosterone high all the time has some problems. For instance, many of the men who do this will find that their sex drive, their libido, fades away after a while. They do pretty well for the first year or two, but then it starts to fade and go away, and they can't figure out why.
And that's with the shots.
And that's with the shots.
Okay.
And, well, that's with any system that keeps your level high all the time. Because male libido has a lot of factors, but the testosterone component is a rise and fall in testosterone. The testosterone receptors get emptied out, partially emptied out, and then they fill up again. And it's that rise and fall that gives us our morning and evening surge of libido. Men's testosterone is highest first thing in the morning and again when the sun goes down. So we peak twice a day, sun up and sundown. And that's why as a young man, you woke up every morning desperately wanting sex. And that's why when you had your first real relationship, every evening about sundown, when you were finishing dinner and she was trying to put things away, you were groping her at the sink because you were wanting sex again. Okay. This was your twice a day testosterone peak.
Okay.
See, women cycle once a month. We cycle twice a day.
It's almost like you guys are more hormonal than we are.
We are far more hormonal than you are. We really are. Yeah. We are driven by our hormones far more than women. It's just that women have that monthly cycle with menstruation and they have that incredible mood swing about 5 days before their period when their progesterone drops out. And they get the sudden low progesterone bitch attacks. So not a very scientific term.
I was going to say, is that your medical term for that?
Every man on the planet understands that if he lives with a woman, there's going to be about 5 days a month that he has to walk on eggshells. All right. But we cycle twice a day. And so our cycle is so fast, oddly enough, it's been overlooked.
Okay.
Okay. The other problem with, besides libido, of course, is I can almost guarantee that your testicles are going to shrivel up and get tiny, tiny, tiny. They will go from the size of walnuts to the size of peanuts. Not peanut shells, the peanut inside.
Okay. Wow. Okay.
I have had guys that came in after several years on shots and could not find their testicles.
Wow. Okay.
Okay. And they had gotten so small, they'd pulled up into the inguinal canal. So, and, you know, the urologists don't get excited about that because most of the guys on testosterone are not trying to father more children. And testosterone makes a fine birth control that way. But from an emotional standpoint, most men were born with a pair and they want to die with a pair and they don't want to see them go away. I mean, that's just what it comes down to. So I prefer to put the testosterone on as a transdermal cream each morning. That way I get my levels up during the day when I'm active and physical and I need to do things. And I'm one of those blessed men whose wife calls him at work from time to time and says, can you come home at lunch for a little midday play? So I'm not going to argue.
Dr. Mixon's got another long lunch hour planned. What?
That's right. Listen, my senior staff are used to me saying, I'm sorry, guys, Bandine called. I'm going home.
See ya.
Yeah. So then you're being the boss. I can't get fired.
That's right.
So, yeah. But then we wash it off in the evening so that during the night, my testicles are working and making as much of my own testosterone as I can so that I'm supplementing it in the daytime, not trying to totally replace it by shutting down my own production permanently. Does that make sense to you?
Sure.
Yeah. So anyway, that's
very interesting.
That's my reasoning behind it. Also, some men are very insensitive to their testosterone level. Whether it's really high or really low, they don't notice a whole lot for some reason. Other men are very sensitive. And when it gets low, they get depressed and unhappy and miserable. I am fairly sensitive to mine. So I've got a dose where I keep my levels in a good, healthy mid-range. I run my total testosterone around 800 or so most of the time. If I am in negotiations and there's a tough deal to be struck and I really want to win, I kick my level way up and I walk in that room as the alpha male from hell. And I want them to smell the testosterone, roll over, expose their throat, and submit. I'm not being a nice man at those points. I want to win. On the other hand, if I am going to have my grandchildren or a few great-grandchildren come over, I let my levels go much lower those days, and I am soft, roly-poly grandpa.
Oh.
And so it allows me to customize my my mood and degree of assertiveness.
As opposed to the shots.
As opposed to the shots.
Okay. We hear the music. We're going to take a quick break. Warren, hang on the line if you have any more questions. We'll be right back. And if you have questions, we have room for you. Phone lines are open at 800-465-8770. This is Leading Edge Medicine, 800-465-8770. We'll be right back.
Chestnuts roasting on an open fire, Jack Frost nipping at your nose.
Welcome back, Leading Edge Medicine, where I've tried chestnuts on an open fire. Have you had roasted chestnuts?
I have.
And would you do it again, or would you opt for these spiced nuts?
I had some chestnuts at Wajamaya a couple of years ago, and they were actually quite good. A fellow was roasting them at the front door of the, of the grocery store. But when I've tried it, they stink.
Yeah. It was like,
Anyway.
Okay, so Warren.
Warren, let me give you one more tidbit about the transdermal.
Okay, talking about testosterone here.
Transdermal testosterone, I never used the commercial cream because that's a very, very low dose. They're trying to get you into the low end of normal for an old man. And I like to be in the mid-range of a healthy young man.
Mm.
All right? So that stuff is just too darn weak. That is 5 milligrams of testosterone per gram. And the custom compounded cream I use is 200 milligrams of testosterone per gram. So you can see there's quite a difference. Also, one other way you can customize your testosterone, if you find that your levels are a little on the robust side and you want to get them down, the metabolic half-life of testosterone is about 75 minutes. So when I do occasionally use that high dose for a business reason, I don't take that man home to my sweet wife. That's not a side of me that she needs to endure. Okay, that's a competitive guy on guy thing. So all I have to do is go home and take a shower, and in an hour and 15 minutes, 50% of the testosterone is out of my system.
Wow.
So
that's interesting.
It sounds like it's so much more controllable than that shot that you would take
and that's the point. It is very controllable. I can put your levels anywhere I want them to be at any given time for any given reason. And so why not?
Well, my levels have been consistently like 500, and I'm 73 years old.
That's a robust for a 73-year-old man. That's a great level, you know. I like my own a little higher, but you know, that's everybody has their own life and their own needs, and where we put them, of course, depends on where they, as an individual, need them to be.
Well, I mean, I'm giving myself like I think it's 0.3 once a week. And I've only been doing this for like, I don't know, maybe a month or so. And I'm just, you know, I'm kind of, you know, wondering about all this. But thank you very much for that. I have a question. That is, I'm on a CPAP. I've been on that for about 3 months.
Uh-huh.
Does a CPAP treat the cause or the symptom?
No, the symptom. The symptom.
That's what I thought.
Yeah, what it's doing is it's a CPAP is constant positive airway pressure. And so that pump is forcing air into your airway so that it's pushing it past whatever is obstructing and causing you not to get enough oxygen in the night. But it's not fixing whatever is causing the sleep apnea in the first place. It's just compensating for it by pushing extra air in. And the question I always have is there a correctable reason? If your airway has a quasi obstructive lesion up high, the ENT doctors can go in and do a radio frequency treatment and shrink up that obstructive area and open up the airway so you get air through more easily. If it is down low that you're getting your tongue falling back into the path of your breathing, there is an implantable device that has a little switch, and you just hit the switch when you want to go to bed at night, and it stimulates the nerve that controls those glossal nerves and actually has the tongue move out of the way and opens up your airway and lets you breathe better through the night.
Wow.
So there are approaches you can use, but first diagnosis, then therapy. You have to figure out why. And one of my criticisms of my profession is that too often you get a sleep apnea diagnosis and the first answer is not, well, we better figure out why he has sleep apnea. It's, oh, let's put him on CPAP. I think there's a step between those. You make the diagnosis. That's good. Now you find out why he has sleep apnea, and if it's fixable, fix the underlying problem. Don't just cover it up with CPAP.
Well, 20 years ago, they took my uvula out, thinking that it was an airflow problem, and it actually made the snoring worse.
Oh, no.
Yeah.
Because I'm moving a little more, obviously, less obstruction and more air movement and more vibration of that loose.
Sure.
Material.
Yeah, that loose tissue. Yeah. Well, once more, you know, so you had the problem for a while, but I would say you need a real good diagnostic workup. And there are some great ENT people that can do that. You know, Dr. Umat's husband is one of them, Dr. Sunil Umat. He's an ENT surgeon and, you know, has worked on several of my senior staff through the years that developed sleep apnea problems and fixed them.
Wow.
So, you know, you might go see Dr. Umat or one of his colleagues who, you know, can work this up and find out what your problem is. And it may be that you need the CPAP, but it may also be that they can find another reason and fix it.
Okay. Hey, thank you very much. I appreciate it. You're truly a golden gentleman.
Thank you, sir.
Yes, he is. Thank you for that call, Warren. We're waiting for our next call. I'm going to give you the phone number and you can call. All lines are open right now at 800-465-8770. That's 800-465-8770. Of course, Leading Edge Medicine brought to you by Longevity Medical Clinics. And it's been quite the year, right?
Oh, yeah.
So many new things. And one of the newer things that we're doing is the IV therapy. And I just went and saw one of my favorite bands, and I saw some Instagram posts that they had backstage, and there they were all getting IV therapies, you know,
before the band.
Before,
getting
yes.
their energy level up.
At the end of their, they were at the end of their tour, and they were like, yeah, we have to do this in order to get, so they have doctors come in and administer that. But just one of the things that we do at Longevity, and we want to make it as good for you to come in and find out what you can do to make your life better, right, Dr. Mixon?
Absolutely. Yeah, that is one of the areas that Dr. Umat is in charge of, is overseeing the intravenous therapy. And Dr. Pentland is the doctor that is doing that for most of our people. And so, we've got several different IV cocktails they can use depending on the need. And so if you're recovering from an illness or trying to stave off an illness, or you're just, you know, have this winter blahs and no energy
yes.
that some people get, you might want to come in and get evaluated and see what they can do for you.
There we go. And you don't, I hope I got this right. I don't believe you have to be a longevity patient. So if you're listening and you're not a patient yet, this might be a good introduction to
this
longevity.
This is one of the things that we brought in originally for our patients, but now have said, look, why do we restrict this to our patients? Let's also offer it to other folks.
Absolutely. If you're interested in the IV therapy, or perhaps you would like to come in for what we call our free health analysis appointment, this is the number to call, 866-86-YOUNG. That's 866-86-YOUNG. Or you can go online, lmclinic.com. Of course, we have three clinics, Kirkland, Tacoma, and Linwood. And we'd love to see you in, because we want you in 2024 to be
stronger, faster, leaner, smarter, sexier, which will make you happier.
Absolutely. The number again, 866-86-YOUNG, to get in touch with our clinic or to make that health analysis appointment that is free. Still, take advantage. Or you can go online and book your own appointment at lmclinic.com. We're going to take a quick break. We'll be back. And we have Bob on the line. We'll talk with him next.